That have great pride in this WB logo.
And you'll stop at the Golden Blue.
It is a great night to be a Mountaineer wherever you may be.
And now it's the show brought to you by Mountaineer fans for Mountaineer fans, the Country Roads webcast.
What's going on, Mountaineer Nation? Welcome into our first live stream of the spring. Be one of these per week here throughout spring football, of course, culminating with our live stream recapping the Gold Blue spring game coming April 27th. What you can claim your tickets now. Actually, they're not charging anything for the tickets. Usually it's like a $10 charge. They donate that to the Children's Hospital, but this year they're doing it a little bit differently. No charge for the actual ticket, but then you can just choose to donate whatever you want to the Children's Hospital. So a little bit different, pretty cool, and hopefully there's going to be some fun festivities there for sure. I know they're going to be potentially unveiling the new uniform set that we're going to be wearing this season, and hopefully maybe even get a peek at those rumored black uniforms. Who knows what's going to happen there, but a lot of fun things usually at the spring game in the Neil Brown era. So coming up April 27th, be sure to get ready for that. And we're going to talk about some WVU football storylines leading into that here throughout the stream. That'll be here kind of in the second part of the stream. I want to touch on some WVU basketball topics that we need to cover since Darren DeVries was hired. And we've got some transfer portal updates in regards to, you know, who West Virginia's bringing in regards to a player on the move out as well. But, of course, as always is the case here on these live streams, these Q&A streams that we run, like I said, once a week throughout the spring. And then when the fall comes around, be a couple a week. But encourage you, drop your questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got there in the chat, kind of let you guys guide the conversation and chat with you guys here. And I'll touch on some news topics along the way. So having said that, let's lead it off here with some WVU basketball news. Find the first one I wanted to pull up here, and that was something I didn't get a chance to talk about in, you know, our live stream when we talked about Darren DeVries being hired. We knew kind of years and stuff like that, but we didn't get to talk about the, you know, finer details of the contract number-wise. Those have since came out, so I want to lead this off kind of the contract details for West Virginia's new basketball coach. If you haven't seen this yet, this, of course, coming from Mike Asti over on WVSportsNow.com. And this, you know, broke a couple of days after his, you know, hiring was official. I think it was just ahead of the press conference on Thursday, which was great. I've got a little bit of a recap video that the West Virginia media team did. They do a great job, you know, on the basketball side, just as they do on the football side. You guys know I like to share the game trailers on our Q&A streams throughout the fall. And then, of course, the cinematic recaps after West Virginia's wins because they're so good. They did a little bit of recap of, you know, Darren DeVries' first day when he did his press conference and kind of got his tour around the West Virginia facilities and stuff. So I'll show you that momentarily to kind of cap off our basketball news topics here before we switch gears and get into football topics with, you know, spring kicking off. But as far as the contract is concerned, according to information obtained by Keenan Cummings of Rivals, WVSports.com, of course, they did a great job over at Rivals throughout this coaching search, and they always do a great job in general. DeVries will earn $2.8 million in salary in his first year, and then $100K more each year throughout the rest of his five-year deal. In addition to his salary, DeVries will be able to earn more in incentives. Granted, they are all tied to success on and off the court, which I'm sure that's, you know, for certain finishes in the Big 12, Big 12 titles, you know, NCAA tournament berths, things like that. Let's see if they've got any an extension clause, though. They do have details on that. Extension clause will be activated if DeVries finishes in the top six in the Big 12 standings in his first 2 years. So that's a good one, and I think that that's one that's probably doable. This will take place even if it occurs thanks to a conference tiebreaker scenario. DeVries' deal will then be extended by an additional year through 2030. and then it talks a little bit about buyout and stuff there. So, you know, there's a little bit of the details of the contract. You know, I'm sure that everyone was kind of interested in that once Coach DeVries came on board. So now we know that he's starting out there, you know, right, what is it, $2.8 million, and, you know, can go all the way up to, you know, above three. So kind of where we expected. You know, we were thinking, what, $2.5 to $3 million range. So good first contract and a huge pay grade for a coach that definitely deserves it. You know, he's been loyal to the programs he was at, and now moving up to the power five level or whatever it's called in basketball. I mean, I'm so used to football, but definitely is a coach that's ready for that move and, you know, deserves the bump in pay, and hopefully he's going to do a great job here. So wanted to talk about his contract details. And then, of course, we finally, after that, you know, in the stream when I was talking about, you know, him being hired, which if you haven't checked that out here, go back, check it out. It's also up on, you know, all the audio platforms where you can find the Country Roads webcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, all that stuff. But we were talking about Tucker DeVries because at that point it had been a couple articles coming out, you know, reporting him coming to West Virginia. But of course, it was officially confirmed by, you know, Coach DeVries himself in his press conference that Tucker would be, you know, transferring to West Virginia. You know, then the next day or later that day, he put it out, you know, on social media confirming that he was transferring to WVU. But, you know, there was kind of a day in between because he entered the transfer portal. And then, of course, the press conference was the next day. So we got to see what his rankings were in the transfer portal while he was in there. And this should go a long way in telling you guys how good of a player Tucker DeVries is that West Virginia is going to be getting kind of as, you know, the building block, the key cog to build around for this team here in his final season of collegiate basketball. But if you look at his rankings in the transfer portal here, courtesy of Ethan Bach over on WVSN, you can see the portal report had him rated as the number one best transfer player in the entire country. So did CBS Sports, also had him rated as the number one best transfer portal player in the entire nation. Then On3 had him number 10, and Evan Mia had him number 3. So, you know, pretty much a consensus top five player, or at least, you know, top 10. On3 has him a little bit lower, but I mean, just those numbers right there, you see it again, 21.6 points per game, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 44% from the field, 36% from three. And if you go watch some of his highlights, he has a really good game. He can, you know, do a lot of different things, including shoot from, you know, 30 feet. You know, he's got that deep three-point range. So it's going to be a good, you know, piece for West Virginia to build around now that he has committed to West Virginia. So I wanted to share that just so, you know, we could talk a little bit about how highly regarded he is. And, you know, with that, we can also talk about West Virginia losing one player to the transfer portal. You know, we knew that this would probably come. A lot of this roster is going to be overhauled. We don't know who's going to return exactly, but we do know one player that's not returning. That is Seth Wilson. He announced that on social media. So I can, you know, pull this up for the first time here in the basketball offseason on this live stream. It'll be our transfer tracker we'll try and use throughout this basketball offseason as West Virginia tries to build this roster under new head coach Darren DeVries. We know that they had their first transfer in Tucker DeVries, and we know one player that on the current roster that's out so far in Seth Wilson. But that's not all that we know. You know, we know that there are going to be other players West Virginia is targeting, of course, in the portal. So let's talk a little bit about some of the transfer targets here before we close up, you know, talking about basketball and switch over to football. Talk about some of the players West Virginia is targeting in that transfer portal. See if I got these pulled up here. Yes, of course, with Tucker DeVries, then there's also other rumors. What other Drake players could West Virginia be trying to lure, you know, to follow him? Follow, you know, and Tucker has been saying that he's, you know, recruiting other players. He was wanting to get some of these Drake guys to follow him here. And as you see here, they've contacted multiple Drake players in the transfer portal that have hit the transfer portal. Three guards, I think, have hit. And, of course, this is from Ethan Bach as well. And some of those are Kevin Overton, Connor Enright, and then Attenwright, I think, is the other one that West Virginia has already previously contacted. He entered before Kevin Overton and Connor Enright. But Overton was the one that I was really, you know, had my fingers crossed West Virginia could maybe land. We'll see if they're able to. He's going to be highly sought after in the portal. He was a freshman at Drake last season that, you know, they did a great job landing because he was a highly sought after recruit and he played very well as a freshman. As you see here, Overton completed his first season with Drake, being named to the MVC all freshman team. He recorded 11 points per game, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist in 35 games. Shot 45% from the field, 35% from 3. You know, season high of 23 points at one point. And, you know, that's as a freshman. So a lot of eligibility remaining. So that's a high ceiling. You see there are 3 years of eligibility. But long list of schools that have contacted him. All, you know, major programs, as you see there. His list of schools that have contacted him. I'll try and highlight that there. So he's one that I'm really hoping West Virginia gets. Adden Wright, I think, was the point guard of that team. He would be another good pickup for West Virginia. Don't know if this article talks about him, but it does also talk about Connor Enright, who's transferring as well. He's heard from several schools. You see his contact list here. He's a 6-foot guard, and he was kind of their defensive specialist that they would put on, you know, other teams' best players, from what I understand. Averaged 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. He was a starter for the team. So let me show you something else in regards to Connor Enright that I do have an update on that has since come out in regards to that. West Virginia not only contacting, you know, these Drake guards, but some of them are going to be visiting. So if, you know, if they're visiting, that's always, I think, a good sign. That's something I talk about, especially on the football side. If West Virginia can be one of the final visits for a team, especially someone that's never been, you know, to WVU, I think that they're really blown away once they see the facilities, and that applies for basketball as well. And Drake transfer Connor Enright, who we were just talking about, is planning to visit West Virginia. He told WV Sports Now here, Ethan Bach reported in this. He completed a visit to DePaul yesterday, and he plans to visit West Virginia this upcoming week. So, you know, fingers crossed when he makes his way to West Virginia, we don't let him leave without a commitment, and we can land another one of these Drake players. That'd be great, and he's a very good one, you know, to play, you know, the guard position. He can shoot some threes, and like I said, he's good on the defensive end as well, so it would be a good pickup. We already have Tucker DeVries. Hopefully we can get Enright and then maybe get Attenwright and Overton as well. That would be, you know, big pickups. But West Virginia isn't only banking on landing these Drake players for sure, you know, as transfer wise anyway, but there are some other transfers that they're targeting. They're listed as a finalist for a UT Martin transfer, and this is Jordan Spears. There he is. He's considering Alabama, Arizona State, LSU, South Carolina, Texas Tech, and WVU. West Virginia, you know, named in his finalists on his Instagram there. And as you can see, high scorer at the level there that he was playing at for UT Martin, 21 points per game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1.3 steals per game. So that would be another good pickup for West Virginia, and, you know, West Virginia in contact with him. So West Virginia, you know, he's going after some of these transfers for sure. But there is another aspect to landing, you know, a coach that was at a previous program and been there for a while. And that, of course, is the fact that he has been, you know, recruiting there at Drake, right? And in regards to that, some of those players that, you know, once that coaching change happens, much like players being able to hit the portal after their coach leaves, sometimes they'll let the players that have signed national letter of intents be released from those. We've seen that happen in the past, and we're seeing that happen now for Drake. One of their signees, KJ Tenner, who was their, you know, signee there, coming in from high school, he's granted, you know, a release from his national letter of intent. So could this potentially be another target for West Virginia to bring in a young guy? You know, I think they have Carmelo Adkins still committed, as far as I know. He's still signed on with the program. But this could be someone West Virginia goes after as well. 6-foot prospect out of Cordova High School in Memphis, Tennessee. And he was Mr. Basketball in the state of Tennessee. You're talking about the best player in the state of Tennessee to win that award. So, you know, it could be someone for West Virginia to try and go after as well. Averaged 23 points there senior season, so could be a good guard with a high ceiling that could join Carmelo Adkins, as I said there. And it's, of course, listed in this article from Ethan Bach over on WV Sports Now. So wanted to talk a little bit about that, and that's kind of all I've got basketball-wise. Like I said, I want to play that recap video from Darren DeVries' first day, but kind of want to encourage you guys, you know, drop your questions, comments, concerns in the chat. We're going to switch over to football topics here. I'm going to play this video. I'm going to refill my water while it plays. Then I'll, when I come back, we'll switch over to some football topics. I see Charles Hatcher in here. Appreciate you, man. He's asking, any word on coaches staying? No, far as I know, I haven't heard anything about anyone being asked to stay quite yet. I don't want to speculate 100%, but, you know, I'd be surprised if any more than one or two stayed, and I'd really be surprised if even that happens. You know, I know a lot of people were hoping for Jay Koontz. I know he put out the statement thinking West Virginia, but you never know what could happen. I don't know if Darren DeVries has his own, you know, GM recruiting guy, but that would be one that maybe, you know, you could have potential of hopefully coming back. I think everyone else is probably – you know, not going to make a return staff wise. Now players, that's a different thing. I think that some of those guys could potentially return. You know, Coach DeVries is going to have to look, see, you know, who fits the system, who he wants to keep, you know, who he wants to kind of usher out and maybe, you know, lead them, say it's best, you know, you find somewhere else to play, you know, and that happens as well. But I think that some of the players on the roster could potentially return, but I don't see a lot of the coaches from the former staff staying on. But appreciate the question, Charles. Encourage anyone else that's in here live, you know, drop your question, comments, concerns in the chat there. I'll let you guys guide the conversation in addition to what topics I got. And of course, if you're in here live or if you're watching the playback, hit the thumbs up button. Helps a ton with the YouTube algorithm. And if you're a WVU sports fan, be sure to subscribe here. Talking a ton of West Virginia sports content. But having said that, let's wrap up the basketball side of the conversation here with the Darren DeVries day one recap video that the West Virginia media team dropped. As soon as I can find it. Oh, no, almost forgot. Actually, there is one more transfer update I had here from Ethan Bach, I think, that I didn't share. And that's another transfer from, you know, a lower level. The West Virginia is going after UIC transfer wing Toby O'Connor. He's going to be visiting West Virginia actually here in a couple weeks, April 12th through 14th. Per Tips and Edits was the first to break it. 11 points per game, 7 rebounds, nearly 2 steals. Sounds like a good, you know, lengthy wing that can shoot and, you know, play some defense there. Entered his name to the NBA draft as well as the portal. So who knows what how that ends up coming out. But if he decides to stay in college, sounds like West Virginia could be a potential destination visiting in a couple weeks. But that's all I got basketball-wise now, I promise. Now let me wrap it up with the Darren DeVries day one recap video. I'm going to refill my water while that plays, and then I'll switch over to some football topics and encourage you guys, you know, drop any questions you got in the chat there as well, and we'll talk about anything you guys want to also here throughout the stream.
We wanted someone who understands and will embrace West Virginia values and what WVU is all about. The passion, the work ethic, the grit, resiliency, determination that makes us Mountaineers.
We want guys that want to be at West Virginia.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of West Virginia University and the West Virginia University Athletic Department, we warmly welcome you here inside the Coliseum for a very special day.
Today is a day of celebration. We continue to celebrate our history and tradition as one of the top 20 winningest basketball programs of all time. And he made it clear that he didn't just want a job, he wanted this job. Next head coach and the newest member of the Mountaineer family, Darren DeVries.
I'm a firm believer if you stack talent and intangibles and you do that enough times and you put together a group of men like that in a locker room, that equates to winning.
The most important people, though, I want to thank today is my family. My son, Tucker, who will be joining us for his senior year. So, yeah.
Our goal is to make sure every opponent leaves here with some pepperoni rolls and the words of Country Roads echoing in their head. Let's go, Mountaineers.
What an incredible facility. I mean, this has to be one of the nicest ones in the country. This is big time. Incredible layout. It's set up for basketball. From a player standpoint, they have every amenity you can ask for. And then from a coaching standpoint, the space, every space you need, access is incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what. Please welcome. We have a basketball court during the brief.
This facility, I don't know if there's nicer one in the country.
Teddy, Coach.
Hey,
nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Hey, doing
great.
Man.
Gorgeous.
Coach, what's up, man? Welcome.
Hey, hey,
how we doing? Full day?
Yeah.
We got it. Yeah. Good to see you.
Welcome. How you doing?
Talk to you.
Pretty fitting there that the closing shot, of course, is of Darren DeVries and his family on the West Virginia football field as we now switch gears and talk some West Virginia football. And the first thing I want to get into is I want to talk a little bit about some of the newcomers. If you haven't had a chance to check it out today yet, I put out a roster update video on the channel where I talked about some of this. But you know, I wanted to specifically pull up the roster here that I have, you know, for the spring. Of course, this is only the players that are on campus for the spring, you know, and only the scholarship players, won't see any preferred walk-ons, non-scholarship players on here. And of course, won't see any of the, you know, enrollees, the freshmen that'll be here over the summer, be here for fall camp, besides the ones that enrolled early, which we'll highlight those because I want to talk about the newcomers here. That's what I'm pulling this up, because I want to kind of highlight some of these guys, talk a little bit about them, you know, kind of some of the thoughts that have been coming out about them here throughout the spring here. So let's get to some of those here. As we see, I'll scroll through the roster here, and just kind of as I get to them, we'll talk about them. And the first one that comes up, I think it's kind of fitting that it's the first one to come up, and that's Jaden Bray, the wide receiver that transferred in from Oklahoma State. Because from all accounts, you know, even I know just yesterday was the first day that they've gotten pads, first day they've had a little bit of contact. So a lot of this was coming off of, you know, just basically, you know, physical looks, you know, and speed, you know, things like that. So, but Jaden Bray certainly looks the part. You know, they said out there he's got, you know, a nice frame. I think he's about 6'2", 200, if I'm not mistaken. But also they said he's really shown good speed. I think it was Aubrey Burke specifically, you know, mentioned, you know, his speed off, I think it was a screenplay, and his speed surprised him, said he had some wheels. And so, you know, you've heard not only, you know, some of the staff members praise him, which was kind of as to be expected, but you've seen some of the defensive players, you know, praise him, you know, Aubrey Burks included. So I think Jaden Bray's got a chance to really earn some playing time and be, you know, kind of a key part of a West Virginia wide receiver rotation that suddenly, after, you know, last year, you know, I don't want to say it was a weakness, but definitely featured a lot of young faces, a lot of newcomers that I thought really had a lot of high ceilings. But those guys being their second year in the program, you know, third year in the program, in some cases, having a chance to go through this offseason and, you know, get stronger, you know, faster, bigger, all of that's going to help. And adding, you know, a guy with experience like Jaden Bray, who, you know, at Oklahoma State really, you know, had some good games. He never had, you know, a 100-yard game, but he, you know, really made some plays in crucial moments, including, you know, touchdown against West Virginia, you know, in the past. So that's someone to look out for sure when we're talking newcomers as far as someone joining this receiving core. I think that's the only newcomer we really have to talk about. And we're going to get to see a good look at a lot of these receivers this spring, I think, because we're going to see more four wide receiver sets, more 10 personnel from the offense due to the fact of Cole Taylor not really participating in spring practice, or at least being limited up to this point, and who knows how much they'll use him. Same goes for C.J. Donaldson, Bryce Biggs, and those are the ones that are limited. And then, of course, Thomas Remick and Asani Redwood are the ones that are out. I wrote that down earlier, so I'll try to remember who it was that was out and who it was that was limited. But Jaden Bray was the first newcomer that we came to and one of the bigger ones that I wanted to talk about, especially on the offensive side. So definitely wanted to highlight him, and definitely not a newcomer, but you'll see in the roster update today, if you check it out, TJ Johnson, you know, kind of was a tight end last year, seemed to move more to wide receiver this year and has kind of stood out with his size and athleticism at times. Then we move into tight ends. Jack Samarco is the newcomer there. He's a true freshman that enrolled early here for the Mountaineers. And I think that he's a guy that has, you know, good potential for the future just because great size coming in, you know, 6'6" as a freshman. And West Virginia is going to continue, I think, to try and recruit these taller pass-catching tight ends after they've seen what they can do with a guy like Cole Taylor, you know, not just 1 year, but especially here in the second year, we'll see what he can do. But, you know, last year having one of the most successful seasons a West Virginia tight end has had in, what, 40 years or something like that. So that's big. But with him out, we're going to get a good look at some of these other guys. You know, this spring, Will Dixon's been getting a lot of reps. They kind of know what they have with Traylon Davis, but it's a big spring for Will Dixon. It's a big spring for Victor Wickstrom, you know, and of course, the young guys are really going to get some reps as well. And Noah Braham, of course, the legacy player, is one of those. But Jack Samarco is the newcomer here, the true freshman enrolling early. Then moving on here down to the offensive line as we scroll through here. Not really any newcomers to highlight there except for Xavier Bosley, the transfer from Jacksonville State. Of course, did a video on his commitment like I did most of these transfers and freshmen when they came, you know, either committed to the program on social media. And then, of course, as far as the high school ones went, you know, did signing day special for those as well. But same for the transfers for West Virginia. And then, of course, roster updates once they officially joined the roster, they were added to the roster tracker here. So probably heard me talk about them some before, but wanted to highlight these newcomers now that spring has started, because by all accounts, Xavier Balsley, he's extremely athletic, and I'm interested to see how things go for him now that we're in pads, because I think this is going to be, you know, one of the position battles. You know, there's not a ton of position position battles on this roster. More so, West Virginia just has a lot of depth that they're going to be able to rotate, I think. But I think one of the position battles for sure that we're going to see how that plays out is here at right tackle. Will Nick Malone, you know, end up being the starter? Will Xavier Bosley overtake? I'm sure both of those guys are going to see playing time either way. You know, Bosley will most likely kind of be like Malone was last year, either a full-time or a part-time starter. You know, Malone was kind of a part-time starter last season with Jaquay Hubbard, and both those guys looking to move into starting roles this year. But I you know, I'm impressed by Bosley. You know, what I saw from him, you know, at Jacksonville State, of course, you know, being coached by Rick Trickett's a great thing. So I think he's got a chance. We'll see if he's able to, you know, battle for that starting spot there. But that's the newcomers on the offensive side. Let's flip over to the defense here. TJ Jackson. And you guys probably saw in a previous live stream I did, he was rated as one of the top defensive line transfers in all of, you know, the entire country this year. So big pickup for West Virginia to land him, to add to, you know, a defensive line that was already pretty strong for the Mountaineers. You know, they led the Big 12 in sacks last season, believe it or not. I know a lot of people have harped on the pass rush, but West Virginia did do that this past year. And, you know, Sean Martin, we know what we have with him. He has a ton of upside. And, of course, TJ Jackson, you know, adding both those two together could be scary. And then you got the young guys there filling in behind them. But the next newcomer that we got to talk about is a guy here on the defensive line as well, Elijah Kinsler. Seems like he's got a good frame and seems like he could really be a guy that maybe could avoid a redshirt, you know, by early accounts. We'll see what happens there. West Virginia is so deep on that defensive line. But we also know, I think Coach Jackson said it last year, it was kind of like hockey rotations, because West Virginia did play, you know, 9-10 defensive linemen. And because of how they, you know, used them and didn't let them get too tired, there wasn't a lot of drop off between those, and they kept their best players fresh late in the game as well. So you never know who could get reps, and Elijah Kinsler's a freshman coming in early. Doesn't ever hurt your chances. Moving on along here, another early enrollee on that defensive line, Nate Gabriel, and he's kind of a bigger body, and he's been factoring here at the nose tackle position along with, you know, the Fotor Mamoba, Hammond Russell, and another guy that's not a newcomer but will be, you know, a lot, you know, new for fans to see this spring, I guess, because he redshirted last year, and that's Corey McIntyre Jr. We've heard the coaches say a lot of good things about him, specifically Neil Brown at times, so he's one to look out for, even though he's not necessarily the newcomer. That's more so Nate Brown, who enrolled early as a true freshman. And then we get to this position, which, yes, it says spur. You know, your eyes aren't deceiving you. The bandit is now known as the spur position, new 3-4 scheme, new outside linebackers coach Victor Cabral, and it's known as the spur, and of course, those are the players playing it, and we do have a newcomer here, and it's Obina Onwuka. I know he's a recruit that a lot of us were excited about. He was highly regarded, you know, 4-star prospect on some recruiting services. So, you know, getting him there is great, especially when West Virginia is really trying to focus on this position and make it, you know, in for everything I said about West Virginia, you know, leading the Big 12 in sacks last season. Yes, that's true, but we also know that the bandit hasn't necessarily been as productive as it was for Neil Brown when he was at Troy. So I think they're trying to, you know, really focus on that. That's why they brought in a coach kind of specifically for that. They're changing it, you know, to the spur, and hopefully they're really hoping to get more pass rush out of this. They brought in a guy in Obina to help with that as a recruit, but then really the guy to watch here, I think, and he's at the top of my list of my favorite transfers that West Virginia brought in probably. You know, a lot of the defensive backs are up there just because I think a lot of those are really talented, and we'll talk about those momentarily. But Ty French, he's a guy to watch, man. He's coming from Gardner-Webb, he had to play, you know, kind of out of position there. They just kind of moved him all around their linebacking core just to use him however they could as a piece. But West Virginia is going to use him this season, and he can really create a pass rush, I think. So watch for Ty French. Then we move into the defensive backfield here, because we don't really have any newcomers that – oh, well, I forgot about Reed Carrico. I guess I've talked about him so much that he doesn't really seem that much like a newcomer to me, but he's working as the inside linebacker for West Virginia this year, coming over from Ohio State. That's another transfer in that's going to – you're going to see here in the spring. You're going to see a lot of them, and you'll probably see a lot of them in the fall as well, you know, as he battles at the linebacker spot, you know, with Josiah Trotter, Ben Cutter, and Trey Lathan. But I think between those four guys, you're going to have, you know, a solid starting core and some reserve players. And then, of course, Jai Favaris, once he comes back, he's out for the spring as well, I believe. And then, of course, Caden Beiser is always a good piece to have there as a reserve. And then we get in here to the spear position where we do have a newcomer in Zay Jennings, a true freshman that enrolled early. And I think that he's a guy that could have a future there as a spear, especially, you know, training there early from the beginning as an early enrollee. You know, Aubrey Burks is going to be moving on after this year. You got a lot of guys that are going to be kind of jockeying for that spot. You could be looking at a spear of the future in Zay Jennings. I really like what I'm hearing about him from reports. And I think having Aubrey at the spear, I talked about this a ton in my roster update, so I won't go into it a lot here, but I think that's going to be a good move for him if they decide to, you know, make him the starter there. Like I said, they're going to cross train a lot of these guys. Getting into the corners now where it's, you know, full of newcomers, I'll kind of just group all these together as much as I can. Garnet Hollis, Aiden Garnes, and TJ Crandall. TJ Crandall, huge offer list from Colorado State. Multiple years of eligibility remaining. You know, played a lot despite being a freshman last year and, you know, played well, graded out highly on PFF. I think he's a player with maybe the highest ceiling of any of these, despite, you know, the fact that he might not be the one to contribute the most right away because it might take him some time, especially learning the system, being the youngest, but he really has an extremely high ceiling. Aiden Garnes, we saw him last year, West Virginia faced Duquesne. No, he was not the corner that guarded Huddy. You know, when Huddy went off, he was on the opposite side. You know, you can watch the film and see he actually, you know, was one of the highly rated players on PFF for, you know, Duquesne. And he's a guy that's going to cross train both at corner and at safety. So I think he'll be a guy that can help West Virginia in the rotation at both of those spots. Garnet Hollis, you know, really from all reports here throughout the spring, absolutely looks the part. You know, 6'2", 200 plus pounds, got great length for a corner, prototypical size. He's a guy that could be an NFL prospect. If you're looking at someone and saying who could be the Beanie Bishop, you know, that we brought in, I think that that's my number one most likely. I think he's got a great chance to be a starter. And don't count out Montre Miller, guys. He's not necessarily a newcomer. You guys that have been here, you know, following the CRW for a long time know that I was on him all season last year leading into the season. I thought he was going to be a big piece, you know, ended up getting injured. Got the waiver, got one more year of eligibility to come back this season. But remember, he's a guy highly rated. They played, you know, Power 5 teams when he was at Kent State. They played Georgia, you know, really tough a couple years ago when Georgia won the national championship, of course. And he's also played over 800 snaps at the collegiate level, never had a pass interference penalty. So I really like him as well. So West Virginia, I think, has plenty of, you know, players that are going to provide, you know, depth and fight for the starting spots at the cornerback position. I mentioned position battles earlier. That's the main one I think to watch is cornerback here, not only through spring, but probably into fall camp as well. Then we get into safety. Both of these guys, newcomers here, Israel Boyce, a freshman that's enrolling early, is getting reps at the safety position. And Jaheim Joseph, I think, is, you know, probably going to be your starting free safety for the Mountaineers this year. Transferred over from Northwestern as well, along with Garnet Hollis Jr. And, you know, he started at Northwestern, put up good numbers, very versatile. I think he'll cross train. He could play spear even as well. So we'll see who ends up at that spear position. Anthony Wilson's back. No newcomers here at the cat safety position. No newcomers for the specialists there. But wanted to highlight those newcomers here throughout the spring. And, you know, as I talk about them, I did have this pulled up in regards to newcomers that, you know, came out from the first day of, you know, contact, the first day in pads. So this is big, you know, when you talk about those transfers. Aiden Garnes, how about him standing out? Shadon Brown, defensive backs coach, you know, coaching both the corners and the safeties this year. He'll get some help from Javon Codlin coaching those corners. But Aiden Garnes took the bag today, he says, two times a day, he says, eat, hashtag money gang. So Aiden Garnes in practice three, first practice in pads, two interceptions, one in the half line pass period and one in 7-on-7. So, you know, good to see, you know, him already, you know, making plays despite being a newcomer, just getting acclimated to the system kind of. So excited about, you know, him and a lot of these cornerbacks. So I wanted to highlight some of those newcomers here. As I go through here, of course, want to encourage you guys, you know, drop your questions, comments, concerns here in the chat. Talk about anything you guys like. I just got a couple more football topics to talk about. If you guys don't have anything else you want to throw in the chat or, you know, any questions you want to throw in there, probably wrap it up after I get to these past couple topics. And then the last thing I want to share, you know, I've been always trying to highlight how good of a job, you know, the WVU media team does, Ross Moore and those guys on the football side. And they really put together a great highlight package for Garrett Green. I think it's about 6-7 minutes long. We'll kind of wrap the stream with that. I'll play that and then come back on. I give my final regards, but I got a couple more topics to touch on. But in the meantime and in between time, I encourage you guys to share your thoughts, questions, comments, concerns you got there before we get you know, too much closer to wrapping up here with our first live stream of the spring. Like I said, these will be coming weekly here throughout spring practice. touching on news and notes of spring practice, anything else that comes up WVU sports-wise there as well. But, you know, we're talking about the defensive backfield. We're talking about Aubrey Burks there a little bit when we were talking about the newcomers, because Aubrey kind of transitioning, playing a little bit of spear this spring. He's going to still be, you know, playing some cat, he said, as well in his presser. So we'll see where he ends up. But how about this? You know, PFF College seems like they're showing West Virginia a ton of love throughout this offseason. It seems like I've highlighted them on a lot of streams. And yet again, Aubrey Burks, highest grade of Big 12 safety since 2022 with his 90.2 PFF defensive grade. So I think he's going to have an extremely solid final year at WVU. And I think especially if he ends up playing that spear spot, you know, I'm really got high hopes for it. So we'll see what happens. But I'm high on Aubrey Burks coming into this year. I think he's going to have a special season. And then lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about the West Virginia Pro Day. Of course, well, I guess it's not the West Virginia Pro Day anymore. It's the inaugural Big 12 Pro Day that took place. Gotta, you know, highlight some of the results. The main one, of course, Beanie Bishop, you know, and yet again, he continues to impress, right? You know, not impressive enough that he comes here, you know, first transfer player to ever be a consensus All-American at WVU, becomes consensus All-American in one season, you know, gets a chance to return a punt in the bowl game. First time ever doing that in college, takes it to the house. Big 12 Pro Day, he's going to go out. He's trying to show out, you know, he improved his draft stock, you know, showing his special teams play with that punt return, you know, to add to his All-American status. So what's he going to do on a Pro Day to improve it even more? How about having the fastest 40 at Big 12 Pro Day, 4.39, 40-yard dash for Beanie Bishop, whose draft stock just continues to rise. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. This was from day one of the Big 12 Pro Day. I think day two is going on today. You got Zach Frazier, some of the linemen going today. But from the day one results here, this courtesy of BlueGoldNews.com, you can see here. There's Beanie Bishop, of course, running that 4.39 on both his 40-yard dash attempts. And you see the other results there from some of the other WVU prospects. If you want to, you know, pause this and, you know, look into it deeper, of course you can. But you had Noah Massey competing, Devin Carter, Malachi Ruffin, Marcus Floyd, in addition to Beanie Bishop. They all competed on day one there of Big 12 Pro Day. Like I said, day two going on today. You got Zach Frazier and some others there performing. So hopefully be able to highlight their performance on next week's spring stream when we get to spring stream two coming up, you know, here in just, you know, a few short days away, you know, moving right through spring practice already. And as we do, of course, more news is coming out from the university, excuse me, in regards to the spring game. And this is kind of the final piece I have before I share that great Garrett Green 2023 highlight video put together by the WVU media team. But, you know, yet again, they're going to have the Almost Heaven Village kind of pre-spring kickoff to the spring game. Spring game kicking off at noon this year. So 9 to 11 a.m. is when this is going to be going on, guys. This is all free. You know, you can make donations, just like I said, for the spring game, also free, but you can make donations. Let me pull this up here. You see kind of the activities that'll be available there. There's going to be inflatables. There's going to be yard games. There's going to be poster giveaways, balloon artists, face painting, photo opportunities, appearances from the Mountaineers, enter to win giveaways. And of course, food trucks are going to be available. So get there early if you're heading to the spring game, you know, from 9 to 11 a.m. And there's also going to be a kickoff concert from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. just ahead of the start of the spring game there. That's going to be in between the light blue and teal parking lots. And that's going to be Huey Mack, if you'd like to check that out as well. So not only going to be, you know, fun to watch, you know, a lot of these newcomers that we just talked about during the spring game that, you know, are being highlighted here throughout spring practices first week already. We're going to see them perform in the spring game, but they always do some, you know, fun things there as well. And we're probably going to get the uniform unveiled. I mean, I don't know that for sure. I'm just guessing because, you know, when we got our last uniform set, they unveiled it during the spring game. So that's just me speculating, but it's a possibility. And if you're, you know, there, you get to see them up close and in person. I've claimed a couple tickets, you know, for me and my wife, you know, if she wants to go, hopefully she does. If not, you know, I'll gift it to somebody else, but you know, hopefully you've claimed yours as well. If not, go ahead, hop on, do that. Claim your ticket to the spring game and get up there early, get involved in some of these activities as well. But appreciate everyone that did tune in this live. Like I said, one more final chance here. You're going to have about 6 or 7 minutes here while this Garrett Green highlight package plays. I encourage you, drop your, you know, questions, comments, concerns in the chat there. I'll touch on any final ones you guys got there here before I wrap up shop following this Garrett Green highlight video. So get those in if you got any, if you're in here live. Like I said, hit the thumbs up button if you did watch this live, or even if you're watching on playback, it helps there. But if you didn't get to watch it live and you are watching on that playback, you know, drop your thoughts in the comments. I'll try and respond there as well in the future. But having said that, let's get to that Garrett Green highlight video. I'm going to share this with you guys, and I'll be back afterwards to kind of wrap up our first live stream of the spring here on the CRW. So, you know, add any questions, comments you got there if you have any. If not, just enjoy Garrett Green's highlights here, and then I'll wrap up here our first spring stream here on the CRW here for our March 30th edition. So here's a great Garrett Green highlight package put together by West Virginia University's media team. Go get a hold of yourself. The world's trying to tell you down. It's like you're going to need some help. A good job on the run. I've been bringing my own tonight. Nothing's going to stop me now. This whole place is going to be mine. I'm going to run this town. Have you heard about me? I'm a man around here. I'm a man of this town. And I'm bringing the fear. So, come on.
Reed keeps and he's gonna walk in. Touchdown, West Virginia. Subscribe. Touchdown. The quick slam to Hudson Clement. Green drops. He throws it deep down the right sideline. Clement has deep in the defensive back. He makes the catch on zone. Touchdown. 70 yards for Hudson Clement. Pursuit. Garrett's going to run out of the pocket. He's at the 30 to the 25 to the 20. Turns on the gas to the 15 to the 10. Running for the pylon. He's into the end zone. Touchdown!
Hey, it's going real bad. We lose the most quarterback in the game. Hey, it's going
Garrett runs to his left, Garrett to the 10, Garrett to the 5, Garrett to the end zone, touchdown. Fires the ball, and it is caught. Hudson Clement to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, he's to the end zone for touchdown.
Green keeps it, and tries to stretch it out right side. That's a tackle for Oliver, and
has
running room down the sideline.
Deep home run ball wide open. It is caught by Devin Carter to the end zone. He runs. Touchdown, West Virginia. There goes Garrett inside the pile, pitching the pile ahead. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Garrett Green. He fakes a handoff. He runs. Garrett to the 5. Gets held by the shoulder. Puts his shoulders out. Plunges toward the end zone. He's in. It's a Mountaineer touchdown for Garrett Green.
Touchdown, West Virginia. Not to be denied. Green has the first down. Green. Touchdown, West Virginia. His third of the ball game.
Preston Fox caught, touchdown in the back of the end zone. He's ball down to a wide open. Cole Taylor makes the catch. Evades a defender to the 5, and he leaps for the end zone. He's in. It's a touchdown.
Green going deep. Green's got a guy. Fuck!
There's that back of the end zone. Touchdown to Cole Taylor. He threw a PB.
Pressure coming middle. Touchdown. Devin Carter on the catch.
Into the end zone, touchdown! Up the middle he went.
Green
back deep. There goes Garrett Green by a defender to the 10, to the 5, put it in the end zone. Touchdown, Garrett Green. Just like that. The outside gets a block to Cole Taylor. Takes it to 15, to 10, to the 5. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Second speed, all kinds of time. Goes the end zone, wide open. Shoulder Ray makes the catch. Runs out of the back of the end zone. Touchdown, West Virginia.
Green taking a shot down the sideline. Caught. Hudson Clement. He follows his lead blocker. And he takes off to the end zone. A lot of running room. Still waiting room for Garrett Green. Green to keep it. And he'll follow Donaldson over the goal line into the end zone for the touchdown.
Down the side, wide open receiver. Pass caught. Touchdown! West Virginia. Jaheim White caught it.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Stay home.
And here's Garrett Green throwing a deep ball downfield, open the straight away down the sideline, 30 to the 20 to the 15 to the 10 to the 5, end zone, touchdown, Traylon Ray on the opening play of the game, a 75-yard strike as Garrett Green located it down the left sideline.
He's going to take advantage of it. Clement on the sideline. How about that?
Over that deep, and there goes Garrett. Garrett through the hole. Garrett takes it to the sideline. Over the 40. He turns on the gas at midfield to the Carolina 35. Down the sideline. He finally gets tackled. Garrett Green with an electrifying run.
Another incredible job by the WVU media team. There you have it. Garrett Green's highlights, and hopefully those are just the tip of the iceberg. Last season, we know he was one of the top 10 rated quarterbacks in the entire country, according to PFF. And, you know, by all accounts, you know, they've reworked some of his fundamentals on his drop back and things like that to help improve his short to intermediate passing game to go along with the great deep ball he had. And, of course, we know about his explosiveness with his feet. So I think it's going to be a really fun season with the pieces West Virginia has on offense with him leading the way. But wanted to share that there. Another great job by the WVU media team here before we wrapped up our first spring stream here, spring stream one on the Country Roads webcast. And we'll have another one next week as we continue through spring practice. Hope we have a little bit more news after that one. Like I said, kind of the first week, it's a little bit light there, you know, with no pads and everything. Yesterday was the first day of contact. So hopefully get some more juicy stuff moving forward. But whatever comes out, we'll be able to be back to talk about it next week, if I get that out correctly, on Spring Stream 2. And, of course, any WVU basketball transfer portal news that comes out as well, report on that here on the CRW. So if you're into WVU sports, be sure to subscribe here if you haven't already. Helps us, helps you, helps get more of this Mountaineer sports content out to Mountaineer Nation. Hit the thumbs up button on your way out, whether you watch this live or on the playback. Really helps a ton. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Follow us on social media at WVU Country Roads on X/Twitter. Country Roads webcast on Facebook and Instagram. Subscribe on all the audio platforms as well. Put podcast up, the episodes up there. Probably upload the audio to this up there and have these up there weekly as well. And we'll have, of course, throughout the season, two podcast episodes out a week there. You can listen to on the audio side in addition to our two weekly streams here on YouTube once fall comes around. And like I said, we're going to have one of these per week here throughout the spring. So spring football continues. More news comes out. We'll talk about it here on the Country Roads webcast and our spring streams as we move forward. Successful first one. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. I'm already looking forward to the next one. Hope you guys all are as well. It's going to be a fun both West Virginia football and West Virginia basketball season here coming up in 2024, I do believe. But having said that, as always, I'm Jordan Cruz. And until next time, let's go Mountaineers.
If you really want to know, then come on, let's go. Take a stroll down those...